Welcome, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to Nightly Shiur. Delighted to begin Parshas Bereishis with you and start afresh. And, you know, it's interesting because right after we conclude Simchas Torah, we go right into Shabbos, and there's never enough time to fully deep dive into Parshas Bereishis, but we do our best. So we know that just a couple of nekudos, just a couple of pointers on Parshas Bereishis itself, and then, you know, we'll try to go a little bit deeper, time permitting. So the first is that we end off the Torah with the Lamed, and we begin Bereishis with the Beis, and that indicates that we should put our lev, our heart, into everything that we do, and also recognize Ekev, that Ekev Asher Shemati B'Koli, Ekev, that hearken, you hearken, listen to my words. Ekev is also the word heal. So long as we feel that there's more room for growth and there's advancement that could be made, then obviously there's a wellspring of knowledge that could be at our disposal. So long as we're ready, willing, and able to accept the challenge of learning and growing, then of course there's so much opportunity that presents itself. But if we already feel that we're at the Rosh, at the top of the ladder, then there's not much there. So therefore, our Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, encourages us to be a Yaakov, in the sense that a Yaakov has all those Ekev in it. And so we should always be learning and growing and extending ourselves that much further. The next thing I wanted to just mention is that after we finish Torah Shebiktav with the letter Lamed, we begin Mishnah Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had many letters to choose from, and he began with the letter Mem, as in Me'emasai Konish Shema Ba'arvis. When do we begin davening, you know, Shema at Arvis, like at Marav time? And the significance of this is to show the continuity, that one letter goes into the next, that the Lamed goes into the Mem, and there's a continuity there. So after we finish Torah Shebiktav, we then move on to Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the Mishnah, and then from the Mishnah comes the Gemara, and afterwards Rashi, Tosis, and all the Mefarshim that comment upon the Mishnah Torah. The next thing is I want to share with you that we know that every good author always signs the name of a document that they have created, and Bereishis is no different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs his name with the last three letters of Bereishis Bara Elokim. We see the letters Tuf, Aleph, and Mem, and say Chazal, this spells MS. One of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, and that's indicative within the first three words of the Torah itself. The next item I wanted to just briefly touch upon is that the Vilna Gaon brings down that within the first pasuk of Bereishis, we could learn Kol HaTorah Kula just from the first pasuk alone. He says Bereishis is Ben Rishon Achar Shloshim Yom Tipadeh, so we learn about Pidgin Aved. The next, he says that Bereishis is an acronym for Bitachon, Ratzon, Ahava, Shtika, Yira, Tshuva. So these are all elements that Klal Yisrael need in form of creation. So Bitachon is trust, Ratzon is a will, the will to learn, and the will to persevere. Ahava is love, Dedekas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shtika, right? We say Tol Eretz Al Blima, that the earth stands still and it hovers in a balance. That's what Eov had said. But Tol Eretz Al Blima is that the earth stands still on account of those who say nothing. Shtika is a very high level. It's something that the Malachim practice as well, and it's very difficult for human beings, especially after they get insulted. Right, we all want to say something, but Shtika is probably the highest form. You don't say anything at all. The next is Yira, Yira Sphere, Yira Shemayim, and of course, Tshuva, repentance. So the third way of breaking out the word Bereishis is also, as it says the Vilna Gaon, the Kol Ram Avarech Shmo Yisparach Tamid, that also spells out Bereishis, that with a mighty voice, I bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu perpetually. And the last among several others that we're going to just touch upon tonight is Ben Rak Acher Shivas Yamim Timol, says the Vilna Gaon, that this means that, of course, a reference to Bris Mila. So between Pidgin Aben, between elements of creation that a Jew has to incorporate into his self-being, and, of course, the necessity of creating a Dveikas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mila, these are just some of the elements within creation itself. And I just wanted, talking about creation, you know, it's so interesting that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shemesh and the Yireach, the sun and the moon, the Torah tells us it's for Osos, that these are signs, Osos Umo Adim. It says Rashi that these celestial bodies will help determine when Rosh Chodesh will be, in order for the Jewish people to determine when Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, all the Yom Tov and Neraim, including Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot, and all the holidays that surround the Jewish calendar year. So it's interesting, it's fascinating that if you were to speak to somebody who is coming from a university, you would say, no, there's the sun, there's the moon. In fact, yes, we know that they create light, and you have the moon, which illuminates the darkness of the night. And, of course, they provide us with all of the warmth and the necessary ingredients for vegetation to grow. But Rashi's telling us that the reason why they were created was because for us to distinguish and to delineate when Rosh Chodesh will be. So that's fascinating. And then he says, and also the other reasons that we just discussed. So if we carry this thought forward, you know, we know that we have the Shiva Saminim, right? And there's the Gemara and Brachas on Daphne Malach that talks about the fig and the dates. And so the fig and the dates, and these are measurements about how much Mali Lugma, how much can a person carry if there's no air of. So if it's the size of a fig or less than the size of a fig, it wouldn't be in violation. So that's the purpose of creation of the fig, right? And yes, of course, the fig also has, you know, nutrients, and it's healthy for you to consume. But if you're looking at a fig through the lens of the Torah is saying that the purpose of the creation of the fig is to demonstrate to us the size, the amount that a person can carry without being in violation if there is no error. And then when we have a date, that is the size or the amount that a person can consume in small portions on Yom Kippur, something that's, you know, just a few ounces. And then if you look at an egg, for example, it's the amount of consumption that a person has to have in terms of the karbanos, in terms of when we have different elements, different parts of the year where we have to consume an egg, right? So the Torah is looking at all of these items that we would otherwise think about as something, hey, you know, this is nothing unusual, this is something healthy to consume. No, they're actually the basis of a shear, is how we delineate either someone who's in compliance or non-compliance with the halachic ramifications, halachic requirements. So then we look at the word gracious itself, and we know that there are six letters. The six letters represent the Shish Shimei Masa, also the 6,000 years that the world would sustain itself. So if anybody talks about Armageddon, tell them we got a couple years left, we're going to be fine, we're going to make it. The next is that we know that in the first pasuk there are seven words. That correlates to the 7 days of the week. And we know that, you know, also within the first pasuk there are 28 letters, which are, it says the Dasa Kanim is the typical days within the month. So these are just, and then of course, there's, oh, one other thought that I wanted to share that I saw very interesting that I heard from a share from Rabbi Eli Mansour, that we say, Alu B'Tof Machol, that we celebrate with a tof, which some say is a trumpet, some say it's a drum. Umachol means a circle. So in the time of David HaMelech, to tell him, Kapitol Kuf Nun, the last Kapitol, right? So he's talking about the Tof Machol. So in his day, they also were dancing around in circles. And Tof is the Gematria, it's spelled Tuf Vav Pei, so that equals 486. And the last letter in the Torah is a Lamed. If we spell Lamed out, B'miloy, it's Lamed Mem Dalet equal to 74. First letter in the Torah is equal to Beis, or spelled with bet, which is Beis Yud Tav, which is equal to 412. If we take 74 plus 412, we get 486, which is the gematria of Tov. Right? So that means that as we conclude the Torah, we go back and we learn it once again, and we celebrate. Right? So we celebrate with the Tov. The Tov is like a trumpet, meaning that as much as we learn, there's so much more for us to learn and enjoy. Last thing I wanted to just touch upon quickly, because I know I'm running short on time, as I normally do, is the fact that we have this concept of the mayim amayim, a separation of the waters. And this is a very integral part of the shiur tonight. So please bear with me another minute or two. We know that when the Beis HaMikdash was kayam, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, one of the practices of the Kohen Gadol was to do nisach amayim, pour water against the side of the Beis HaMikdash, as well as Nisach HaYayin as well. And we know when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we were exiled and we came to the waters of Babylon. And we say over there, Al Naros Bavel, we came to the waters of the rivers of Babylon. Shem Yashavnu, there we sat, Gam Bachinu, we also cried. And so the question is, Bizachrenos Tzion, when we remembered Tzion, we remembered Yerushalayim. So the question is, why does it say Gam Bachinu? It should say Sham Yashavnu Ubachinu, there we sat and cried, by indicating to us that there we sat and also cried, that there was something else that was crying. In fact, the water was crying. The water was crying, why? By the waters of the Lion. In fact, all of the water was crying, because until that point, the water was very sweet, and it was something that everyone could drink. And then we know that the ocean became salt water, became difficult to drink. Nobody could drink the salt water. Why is it so salty? Because there was a separation at creation between the waters. And if you go down to a beach and you listen and you watch the waves crash one into the other, each wave is saying, hey, look how much taller I've gotten to my eternal source. I want to go back. As the Zohar Kodesh brings down, Anan Bina Lameh Be'Kami Malka, I want to come back to my eternal source. And that eternal source is, there was a separation. So they don't want a separation. The water wants to be reunited. While the Beis Hamikdash was standing, it was reunited. Because every time the Kohen Gadol did the Nisach HaMayim, by pouring the water against the Beis Hamikdash, he was mamtik the water. And the water was sweet. Because there's also a Beis Hamikdash Lamala, as much as there is a Beis Hamikdash Lamata. Kadosh Baruch Hu has already created the Beis Hamikdash Lamala, which is the Binyan Bayis Shlishi. And he's waiting for us to do our share to bring it down onto earth. But while the first and second Beis Hamikdash were Kayim, while they sustained, while they were around, they were mamtik the water. And once that destruction occurred, the water became bitter and it started to cry. And imagine if you were on a first class ticket in a plane ride back from Mexico, and you've got this beautiful first class seat, and you get up to stretch your legs and someone sits down in your seat. And as much as you try to convince them to get up, he refuses, and then you're left to sit in his seat, which is in the back of the plane. So Anan Bina Lameve Kalimaka has a physical, has a spiritual, has an emotional bond that we all desire to come back to our roots. Wherever we were born, we know the broken pavement of every street, and we know the neighbors that used to live in this and this house. It brings us a sense of comfort and joy. But when we're separated from that, we feel the longing. And so too, every time a person comes to a shir, Anan Bina Lameve Kalimaka, the neshama comes and wants to come back to its eternal source. So I just want to thank everybody for joining us for the past year, for all your support, for all your encouragement, and to all the wonderful Rabbanim, and to all of the wonderful participants that make Shir enjoyment a success. So thank you all very much. And we should all be blessed with a Shana Tova Matuka. And we should all be blessed with a happy and sweet, healthy year with Birchas HaGefen, which is Hatzlacha, Gezun, Parnasa, Nachas. We should see in this year the ability for us to celebrate B'tofa Machol, that we should be able to be Messiah in the Torah once again, dance with the Torah and Simchas Torah. We should be able to see the Yad Hashem in everything that we do. And of course, we should be encouraged and feel confident that we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Borei Olam, and that we have the Torah HaKadosha with which we can be doubled, with which we can attach ourselves to, so that we have Zarah Chayav HaKayama. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best. Have a wonderful evening and a Shavua Tov, and of course, a Chodesh Tov.